everyone. Happy Sabbath. Such a blessing to be here with you today. And I want to just get another show of hands. How many of you were here for the Health Nugget yesterday? Okay, so most of you were. We're going to give a little tiny recap of some principles that we discussed, because in order for us to move on from what we discussed yesterday, you really have to have just at least a basic understanding of the concept that we looked at. We decided that in reality, we're not really a whole lot different than ancient societies in terms of their chronic diseases. We found out that the ancient Egyptians, especially the affluent Egyptians, were dying from the same types of diseases that we die from today in the United States and in the Western world, and in westernized or developing even more primitive countries are still dying from some of these things because they're adopting Western lifestyle. These diseases are listed behind me: heart disease, stroke, cancer, obesity, diabetes, and check this out. The average Egyptian affluent Egyptian rarely lived past 50 to 60 years old. That's kind of sad, isn't it? And we discovered yesterday that the average age of death of the common Egyptian was even more startling, 30 years old. Can you imagine the average age of the average person being 30 years? What were they doing with their lifestyles, with their habits, that was bringing about these diseases? I'll submit to you, there were quite a few things that we also could be doing today that could be negatively affecting our health and longevity. But there was a group of people during the same time that ancient Egypt was flourishing as a society, as a civilization. These people, however, were living 3 to 4 times longer than the ancient Egyptians. And you know who I'm talking about, right? We have the history book right here in front of us that gives us the example. Joseph lived to be 110 years old. That's found in Genesis 50:26. You know what remarkable thing is worth noting about Joseph? He lived a great deal of his life where? In Egypt, right? And a great deal of his life in a prison, right? I mean, he had to do the best that he could with the resources he had there in the prison. But then once he was let out, where did he spend the majority of the rest of his life, really? In the palace, right? Enjoying the life of an affluent Egyptian. Yet, he did not die at the age of 60 like the other pharaohs and the other affluent in Egypt. Why was that? He must have been doing something different. He must have been making some positive choices in his life, dealing with his lifestyle habits. But you know, if you search the ancient Egyptian writings, you find something very remarkable. And that is that we don't find any record of any pharaohs living to be 110 years old. But in the Ebers Papyrus, which is an ancient Egyptian manuscript, they list the age of 110 years old as the ideal age in which to die. Where did that come from? It came from God's shining light there in the house of Pharaoh, a city set upon a hill. Amen? He was a testimony to all of Egypt, and it was written that this was the ideal age in which to die, 110 years old. I'll submit to you that came from Joseph. But let's take a look at Moses. Moses is another good example. He lived to be 120 years old, and a large part of his life was spent in Pharaoh's household. He was not only a toiler with the sheep and a toiler with the children of Israel, but he also enjoyed the luxuries of the affluent society of Egypt. Yet, look at his longevity, 120 years old. And let me ask you a question. When he died, did he spend the last 10 years of his life like we do in the United States of America in a chronic, debilitated state? No. He, right before he died, and this was not a causative factor in his death, he climbed a mountain. Okay, can you imagine that? How many of you can climb a mountain right now? Okay, he climbed a mountain at 120 years old, and that's not the reason why he died. Now, half of all heart attacks are triggered by strenuous physical activity, right? But this was not the case dealing with Moses. He did not have a heart attack because of strenuous activity. You know what happened with Moses? He looked out upon the promised land. He praised the Lord who had given it into the hands of the children of Israel. And by the way, he didn't look out with binoculars. He didn't look out with spectacles. He looked out with undimmed vision. Okay? And he communed with his God. He closed his eyes, laid down, and that was it. Praise the Lord. Amen. I mean, so many people suffer and suffer and suffer leading up to their death. But you know what? It doesn't always have to be like that. I'll submit to you, in many cases, God would like us to have our life close like the life of Moses closed. Amen? Amen. In a very peaceful, comforting way. Let's take a look at Joshua. Joshua lived to be 110 years old, and he was actually a common Egyptian, so to speak, for a while, right? But he sure lived more than 30 years old, didn't he? Joshua was a perfect example of a commitment to making positive choices. We know that when he went into the land of Canaan to spy it out, he was a positive thinker. And that has a huge positive effect upon our health. We're finding that stress is probably the number one cause of death in the United States today. And it's not the fact that we are stressed, it's the fact that we become distressed. We allow stress to cause problems physiologically and mentally because we don't know how to deal with it. But brothers and sisters, we're always going to face stressors. Stress is a reality of this fallen world in which we live. But Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but what? Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And he's also said, I'm not giving you a spirit of fear or anxiety, we could say, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God wants to give us that mental acuity, that cognitive function, that IQ, that EQ, whatever you want to call it. He wants to give it to us because he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, and all they that have his precepts have understanding. So if we want mental performance, we need to go to the one who made our brain and receive that wonderful blessing, just as Joshua received it. And you know what? He also received that strength and vitality that comes along with that, asking for that blessing. Lastly, let's close with the case study of Caleb. Caleb is not only an example of longevity. When I say longevity, that's dealing with how long a person lives. We don't know when he died, but we do know he was alive around the same time as Joshua. He was a contemporary to Joshua. So he probably lived a very similar life, maybe 110, maybe even up to 120, maybe even a little bit longer. We don't know. But one thing we do know about Caleb is that he is a perfect example of the fact that just because we're old, we don't have to act our age. Amen? Now, yes, maturity should come along with increasing age, but not physical debility and cognitive issues. No, they've actually done studies on increasing age and mental illness and cognitive decline, such as dementia or memory impairment, and what they found was remarkable. This was the ultimate realization in these studies, that increasing age does not have a direct correlation with mental decline. You know what has a direct correlation? Poor artery health. Poor artery health. Why is that? Because the blood flow to the brain is diminished. The brain is not nourished as it should be. And so we start to have these problems coming about. So brothers and sisters, just because you're 85 does not mean that you cannot, like Caleb, request the most difficult battle in the war of the conquest of Canaan. And in spiritual terms, in this day and age, we need to go to our Heavenly Father, the commander of all the forces of heaven, and say, give me this mountain over here. Give me my neighborhood, amen? Give me my neighbors, give me my family, because I want them to be saved, amen? Don't think just because we're increasing in age, it means that we can just relax in our efforts, because Caleb is a perfect example of this. Let's turn to Joshua 14:11. Joshua 14:11, we'll get an example of the kind of stamina, the kind of commitment that God wants to inspire all of us with. And this is an inspiration not just for physical health, but that physical health can be used to promote the glory of God in this world. That's the ultimate reason that we need physical health. And it says in Joshua 14:11, this is Caleb speaking when he was 85 years old, okay? 85-year-old man. He says here in Joshua 14:11, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now for give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. What is he claiming right here? Promises of the Lord. And brothers and sisters, doesn't matter how old we are or how young we are, we still can claim these same promises. Do you realize what just happened, what took place here in Joshua chapter 14, however? Caleb just requested the most difficult battle in the conquest of Canaan. An 85-year-old claiming that he has the strength of a youth. Now, if you think about that in today's day and age, do you think that the commander-in-chief or whatever army would say, yes, you're 85 years old, you can take the lead in the most difficult battle, the most arduous, most strenuous, most stressful battle in the war of this pivotal battle that we're going to fight in the conquest of this country? Do you think that that would happen in today's day and age? No. Why is that? Because most 85-year-olds are not realizing that this is a promise they can claim to. And it doesn't matter how old you are, God still wants to allow you to claim this promise. And there was a secret. No, we're told that God's promises are conditional. And they're conditional not just on the fact that, or we're not dealing with an idea that, well, you know, this person is rich or this person is educated, so they can claim the promise. No, God's promises are for us. But he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen? And he wants us to walk with him. He wants us to experience the fulfillment of the promise in our very lives by the choices he gives us the grace to embrace. Amen? And so the secret that all of these men shared was a secret that we can claim as well. And you know what? It shouldn't be a secret. The world needs to know about this. In Matthew 9:35, it says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching, preaching, and healing all manner of diseases and all manner of sicknesses among the people. There was no disease that could hide from Jesus Christ. And I'll submit to you today, there's no disease that can hide from Jesus Christ except for faithlessness. And we're plagued with it today. And so we need to claim this promise right here in Exodus 15:26, which reads, if you will diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon you that I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Who is the one that gives us the health? God. Who is the one that gives us the mental faculties? God. Who is the one that gives us the blessing of his Holy Spirit? God. Praise the Lord, because he wants to recreate in us his image, mentally, physically, and spiritually. Is that your desire today? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll continue on with our service this morning, and please come early to all the presentations, because we're going to continue looking at the difference that we need to put between ourselves and the lifestyle patterns of those ancient Egyptians, okay? Amen. Happy Sabbath once again.
Thank you so much, Brother Ron, for that inspiring help.